Well, it's time for the Valley Talk program on this Tuesday, February 13th, as we're going to head down to the state capital, St. Paul, Minnesota. We have Senator Mark Johnson on the line, and, well, Senator, how are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Chris. Wonderful, wonderful. You can't beat the weather, and, you know, it's kind of an exciting time of year down in St. Paul, so doing good down here.
Oh, good. And, well, before we jump into anything and everything that might be covered here and some of the hot-button issues that have popped up just recently, but let's talk about just over the off season, we'll say, before the session officially started yesterday. But what has kept you busy in the off session?
Well, the off session. That's kind of like the off season now,
yes.
Coming off the NFL football season. So, yeah. So most times in the off session, I just get back home. My wife and I live up in East Grand Forks, so we've got our three kids up there. So I do a little concrete work, and my wife and I are both attorneys there too. So we do a little legal work up there too, and that usually keeps us busy between that and the 36 or 37 parades we have in the district, and meetings across with local governments and constituents. There's always something to do up in wonderful Northwest Minnesota.
Well, there is, and it's always nice seeing you at the parades. And
So much fun.
Yeah.
I think we have more fun in the parade than most people do on the sidelines, so it's always a good place to be.
Well, how hard is it running through as a politician? You obviously want to say hi to everybody, and it gets to be a challenge, doesn't it?
If you see, you'll see the vehicle going ahead, and then you'll see Representative Keel and I, 10 minutes later following, because we're, oh, hey, it's John. Oh, there's Betty. And, gotta go say hi. But that's just so good. In this community, you know everybody. You're related, or you've gone to school with most people. And so, it's kind of a family reunion when you get to do those parades. No matter which town you're in, there's always people that you know.
Yeah. Well, that is, it's always a fun time, that's for sure. And
absolutely.
Speaking of a fun time, you started the session yesterday. And boy, there's curveballs thrown the left and right before the session starts. And I don't know where you want to start. I think maybe let's first talk about SRO, because that seems to be taking the forefront right now, along with the sanctuary state. Maybe touch on those two subjects first. But it sounds like maybe the Democrats are changing a little bit on the SRO.
Yeah, and I think, the school resource officers. So if you think about your law enforcement personnel that will come and visit the school or be part of the school environment in communities across the state, you see more and more of that. And so what was done last legislative session was really threw into question what a law enforcement personnel could do while they're in the school. Can they actually withhold a student or physically hold them down? Can they not? Are they in legal liability if all of a sudden something happens, they make the wrong move and restrain somebody when they shouldn't have? And so all of a sudden you see across the state resource officers getting pulled out of the schools because they don't want to incur this professional liability on themselves. And really, I think, if you want to pull back the veil a little bit and look what drove that change in legislation was there's a large movement from a group of, I would say, extremists that say, well, we don't want to have interaction between law enforcement and students. That might build too much of a trust or relationship there. And so, that's really, I think, what drove that. So now, once you see the effects of it across the state, even Democrats are saying, I think we went too far. We need to make sure that our schools are safe. And we've been working very, very hard on, number one, pointing that issue out, and then number two, bringing solutions to solve that one. And I think we finally figured out a path forward on it. So hopefully we'll see that within the next week or two get passed through the legislature.
Well, these kids, they're not like when you and I went to school. You respected the teachers. You would never, ever think of even insulting. Well, you would maybe behind their back, but not to their face or physically.
Not me. Maybe you, Chris. But yeah.
Like, oh, you gave me an F on that test. It's your fault, not mine. But no, it's but
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
But exactly. The teachers, the kids these days, they're very smart. They know what they can get away with. They know the teachers can't touch them. If they do, then there's trouble to be had. So that's why an SRO, the school resource officer, which would be Don Rascott here in Crookston, and that's why they're so important.
Yeah, Don does a good job over there too, and I know he's got a lot of respect amongst the students. So I hope that we can get this figured out, because there's no need to cast any sort of doubt on their ability to handle those situations.
Yeah, I know. I've had four kids go through the Crookston School District. I have one still in it, and they appreciate having Mr. Rascott there. So I know that for a fact. So how about, so that is one topic, and then this really came to light here right before the session started, and there's a group of I'm thinking all the names I saw were from the metro area, which is no surprise, but on the sanctuary state or sanctuary city, they're trying to maybe pass this North Star Act or get that passed. And maybe tell us more about that for those that haven't heard all about it.
Yeah. And so that's something that Senator Fatte is proposing down here at the Capitol. And what that is creating a kind of a quote-unquote sanctuary state, which simply means that Minnesota law enforcement would not participate or help federal law enforcement in apprehending or detaining illegal immigrants that come to the state. And so instead of doing, you know, the policy change that we need to do at the federal level of making sure that immigration is more streamlined, it's a better process, we all know that there's issues there. Instead, what this bit of legislation is doing is saying, like, well, forget about the feds. We'll just welcome everybody in. And right now, between our school budgets, our state budget even, our family budgets, we are so taxed to the limit. I don't know how we can start opening up our borders, letting all these folks come in. Look, we need workers. We need people to come to the state, but this is absolutely the wrong way of doing it. It will break our systems, everything from healthcare to education to state budgets. And plus, just ignoring the federal government, I think, is a bad idea overall. But it's really just another political ploy, I think, by Senator Fatte and others that are supporting that.
Yeah, it's hasn't gone well for the cities that and the states that have done that, and we've all seen the stories and the video on what's happened and schools closing to house some of these that are coming across, and I don't think it would be good for Minnesota, that's for sure.
No. Well, we're really, you know, we're taking that border issue that's down on the southern border of Mexico, and we're just bringing that right up into Minnesota now.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, we end up with the issues that that are happening down in Texas and Florida. So to me, now you're kind of signaling to all these illegal immigrants, like, oh, come to Minnesota. We'll welcome you in here. And so that burden will be falling right on us.
Yeah, we'll welcome all the legal immigrants. I mean, I think all of us
absolutely
have come from legal immigrants. So,
absolutely, Chris.
Yeah, if you're willing to do things the right way, we want you here. So,
yep.
How about other topics that might be hot-button issues early on here in the session?
Well, the big conversation down here right now is on bonding. And that's one of those bills where, even though we're in the minority, we still get a vote on. We actually have quite a few. I think it's seven votes from Republicans that are needed to pass a bonding bill, because you need a supermajority on that. And so it's one that we're trying to figure out going forward here what that looks like. Last year, if you remember, we had a $2.6 billion bill, which was the biggest that I've ever seen down here, and which took care of a lot of the issues, really pressing issues. And so for us, it's got to be a really good bill in order for us to put more money on the state credit card. It's got to be bills that are projects, you know, like wastewater, drinking water, roads and bridges. You know, we've got one there between Polk County and Norman County and even parts of Clay County that it's going to be a regional water system that I'm actually very excited about, because now instead of having individual wastewater or drinking water treatment facilities, what we'll be able to do is connect all these communities with one source and be able to make it more efficient and cheaper for the residents, which I think is a great way. But it's projects like that that I hope to see in that bonding bill. But that's something that will be coming probably towards the very end of the session before that one actually gets off the ground.
Well, and that's when we have a surplus like we do, and you can get into the argument on should they tax more or less or whatever, but if you have it, one-time purchases seem to be, like the infrastructure, that seems to be a solution that everybody can agree on, say, okay, one-time, let's fund this program, and it's going to be a reoccurring cost. It's the infrastructure I think everybody can get behind.
Yeah, Chris, you nailed it. That's exactly what should have happened last year. Remember, we had a $17.5 billion budget surplus in the state, and Democrats spent that on a lot of projects that weren't one time but were ongoing. There was also a lot of grants that were given out to nonprofit political organizations, mostly in the metro area. That took up almost $1 billion. I mean, the way the money was spent last year, it should make Minnesotans upset. This isn't what was spent last year will not help the long-term viability of the state. And now when we're looking at projects like wastewater and whatnot, that will be for generations, help not only us, but our kids and our grandkids. Now we have to start borrowing money to do those projects. The priorities were just so backwards. And so now we're going to start paying the price for that.
Yeah, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
How about other topics that might be coming up here?
Oh, man. There's gotten to be so many different issues this year, but the thing that's encouraging is that we've only got about 42, 43 days of legislative time down here this year, and the more time we're in St. Paul, the more trouble gets caused. So I'm glad it's a shorter year this year, because the longer we're here, more bills get proposed, more ideas come out that typically are not pressing. They're more solutions looking for a problem. And you saw a lot of that last year as we spent way too much time down here spending money and Democrats raising taxes and things. So, you know, we're going to be looking at the bonding bill. That'll be our main focus this year. You know, whether that passes or not, I think is going to depend on some probably some regulatory reform as well. There seems to be a bipartisan hope for that. The other one that keeps coming up, and I don't know if it will pass, but everybody's favorite topic, sports betting. Are you into the sports betting, Chris?
I am not. I mean, I'll dabble once in a while, but I'm not. If it passes, I'm not going to celebrate, and if it doesn't pass, I'm not going to cry or anything. But and I don't know how much it would affect our business, but I know a lot of radio and TV stations, especially in the cities, would appreciate that. So
it's fun. I mean, it's funny who will come out and be very passionate about sports betting that I didn't think they would be, but it's something that I've never really gotten into before. But you know, there's some real dynamic interest in that one too. You know, the tribal interests are the big player in the game there, because they want exclusivity. So they want all the gaming to go through our 11 federally recognized tribes, and that would mostly be the big tribes like Mystic Lake and Prairie Island would get the bulk of that. And then, you know, cut out a couple of the other interests, too, and they're trying to fight back. So there's a lot of back and forth on this one. And so I always put the odds at 50-50 on whether sports betting will actually pass.
Yeah, that's one where I've covered enough sporting events to know you're foolish if you're betting on sports. So it's although they say the NFL is rigged, so who knows? But
you know who the big winner was on Sunday night, though. I think.
Go ahead.
Oh, I think it was Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
No, it's and so that's a topic that I'm sure will keep coming up until it does get passed, and even after it passes, we'll probably still come up with a different bill there in sports gambling. And how about taxes? We've talked about having big surpluses, which means tax revenue has been outstanding for the state, for a lack of better terms. And I'm sure that that's one thing I know as a business owner. We're taxed. It seems like every day I'm filing another tax form and sending some money to the state or the federal government.
Well, as a person who gets a state salary here, now that I'm elected, thank you for paying your taxes, Chris. Appreciate that.
I do it just because of you and Deb.
No, it. I just heard last night that we are number one. So we are number one in the nation for business tax right now. And we're right up there with personal income tax, too, as either one or two for that as well. And so we are the highest tax state in the nation. And if you think of the front runners are typically California and New York and those types. So it's crazy the amount of taxes that businesses and families are paying right now just to have the privilege to live in this state. And still there's discussion and talk down here of things like the fifth tier. So adding another tier of taxation on top of things, you know, and you look at, and you're like, well, that only affects maybe the 1% or something like that. But also go out and look when you buy a vehicle or you register your vehicle or you buy your hunting license or fishing license and all those things. You're going to see higher and higher fees on all of that that came through legislation last year. So it's not just, you know, the 1%ers. It's everybody's going to be paying. And now they're talking about another additional fee they'll end up. They have a clean fuel standards is what the big push is down here now, which could add up to another 50 cents a gallon on our fuel in this state. And so just all these legislative policy initiatives that are going on down here that are affecting us, especially up in rural Minnesota. You think of the big fuel users and that, you know, us when you go to school, you know, I drive from Crookston over to East Grand Forks or vice versa for a meeting. And, you know, they don't do that down here. It's across the street. It's across town. It's something like that. So our people up here are going to be the ones that are going to be paying a lot more than down in the cities.
Well, and I just look at, it takes, and even for the truck drivers that are delivering goods.
Oh, absolutely.
And the farmers that are delivering their product, it's going to add up really quick on basically, we make our money in Northwest Minnesota and the Red River Valley off of having to drive. So, it's. We have maybe a minute and a half left here. Anything else that people should have on their radar to be looking out for during the session?
You know, I'm hoping that this will be a little bit quieter of a year, so hopefully there won't be a lot of change as far as new taxes or mandates or anything like that. We're working very hard to try to digest and improve whatever was done last year. That's a Herculean task right now, but we're really, really trying to do that. But one thing, you know, I'd encourage for those who haven't been down to St. Paul, haven't got to visit and kind of see how the process is done, this would be a great year to do that. The roads are nice and clear. There's not a lot of snow. And, you know, now that we're kind of in action down here, it'd be fun to see more folks down here just investigating what goes on in St. Paul, and I'd love to take some time to host you if you came down.
Sure, and if people are interested, if they're going to be down in the Twin Cities, or St. Paul, we should say, if they're going to be near the Capitol or maybe want to stop by and just say hi, and how do they go about doing that? Can they just stop in, or obviously they probably want to see you, but...
They certainly can. I mean, it's very open. It's not like a federal building or anything like that where you have to go through metal detectors or anything. You just walk in. This is one of the most beautiful state capitals in the country, and so it's really a fun place to be. But yeah, otherwise, just Google, you know, Senator Mark Johnson, and you get in touch with my office, and we can make some arrangements too. So either way.
Sounds good.
Really well.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you in person tomorrow morning.
Oh, that'll be great. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to kick off your Valentine's Day with a present for me. You get to see me, Mark.
Well, that sounds real romantic, Chris. I appreciate that.
So the Minnesota broadcasters will be at the Capitol tomorrow and talking to you and a bunch of your colleagues. So we're looking forward to that. Always fun to visit and talk with you guys. We don't ask, not big asks or anything like that, but just stopping by to say hi, and thanks for everything you guys do. So,
you got a great group. I can't wait to see you.
All right. Well, Mark, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule, and keep fighting the good fight for those of us in Northwest Minnesota. We appreciate everything you do. And again, I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow morning.
Well, thank you, Chris. Right. Looking forward to it. Yep. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. That is Senate Minority Leader Mark Johnson. We thank him for taking time out of his very busy schedule on day two of the session. So we appreciate that. And we're going to be trying to connect with Representative Deb Keel as well and get her on Valley Talk here. Maybe we'll do that in about a couple of weeks here. It looks like we're full through March. So we'll do that and try to check in with both Mark and Deb several times throughout the session to get updates there on what is affecting us here in Northwest Minnesota. That is our Valley Talk program for today.